Illinois Public Media News, this is 217 Today. I'm Kimberly Schofield. It's Wednesday, May 28th. Coming up, a profile of the Korean-American professor who helped create the Asian-American history curriculum taught in Illinois public schools. That story in just a few minutes, but first, these headlines. A report from the Congressional Budget Office shows the so-called Big Beautiful Bill in Congress will hurt low-income families. The bill narrowly passed the House last week with the support of Republican Central Illinois Congressman Darren LaHood. He says eliminating taxes on tips or overtime will help service industry workers.
These are not particularly taxes that benefit the rich in any way. I would argue they help the working poor and working families across the country.
The CBO says cuts to safety net programs will offset any tax reductions lower-income earners may receive. The bill awaits a vote in the Senate. Illinois lawmakers want to commemorate the world's first-ever Illinois-born pope with license plates and a statue. Alex Degman reports.
Republican State Representative Marty McLaughlin wants a statue of Pope Leo XIV built on the Illinois State Capitol grounds. The Pope, formerly known as Robert Prevost, was born in Chicago and raised in suburban Dalton. McLaughlin's measure creates the new Pope Leo commemorative license plates to help pay for the statue. They'll cost an extra $27 the first year and $17 every year after that. Most of that will get deposited into a newly created monument fund, which will also accept private donations. The Capitol architect would design the statue, and the Secretary of State would design the license plates. I'm Alex Degman.
The Champaign Unit 4 School Board plans to finalize Superintendent Sheila Boozer's departure this week. Charlisa Hart is one of several community members who wants the board to retain Boozer. At the group's last meeting, she said the superintendent has allocated funding more equitably and led other improvements.
The decision could set back academic progress to all students, redirect focus away from priorities such as teaching and learning, delay progress in the upcoming CTF, CESP negotiations, and ultimately increase financial burden on the district.
The board is set to vote on a separation agreement with Boozer on Thursday, according to the meeting agenda. Another administrator, Dan Casillas, would be appointed acting superintendent while the district searches for a more permanent replacement. The school board was divided over Boozer's tenure for 2 years before last month's election. In April, voters elected a new majority that supports replacing her as superintendent. Summer is a time for students to be free from academic stressors, but excessive rest can be counterproductive. IPM Student Newsroom's Anna Koh has more on how to find the right balance.
Summers are a time for rest and recharge, says Amanda Shepherd. She's an embedded clinical counselor at the University of Illinois College of Applied Health and Sciences. But summer can also be a time to tackle tasks students often don't have the time for during the school year.
Especially living in Illinois, I think it's very important for us to get out and enjoy the sun and the warmth and and nature when we can, because winter will be here soon again. Yet it can be counterproductive if we only go out and enjoy nature, you know.
Shepherd encourages students to set specific time frames to balance out their days and keep their academic minds busy. This will help create a smoother transition back to school in the fall. Amanda Koh, IPM News.
Still to come, a profile of the Korean-American professor who helped create the Asian-American history curriculum taught in Illinois public schools. That story is coming up next on 217 Today, but first, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard with your forecast.
I'm meteorologist Andrew Pritchard with your IPM News forecast for Champaign-Urbana. Today, look for mostly cloudy skies with a chance of showers and a high of 72 degrees, with a north wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight, mostly cloudy with a low of 53 degrees, a northwest wind 5 miles per hour. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy with a high of 73 degrees, northwest wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, mostly cloudy with a low of 54 degrees, northwest wind 5 miles per hour. And for Friday, mostly sunny with a high of 78 degrees and a northwest wind 5 to 10 miles per hour.
Next time on The 21st Show, Western Illinois University is, for some, a case study in struggling institutions of higher education. It's an example of a school's steep enrollment declines weighing down an entire local economy. I'm Brian Mackey. We'll talk about Western's unique challenges and how Macomb is responding. That's next time on The 21st Show. Join us.
You're listening to 217 Today. I'm Kimberly Schofield. Nearly 70,000 Korean Americans call Illinois home. The journey from Seoul helped inspire a University of Illinois professor create a first-of-its-kind curriculum. IPM's Niti Shastri introduces us to the educator as part of our series, What We Brought, exploring the Asian American experience in Central Illinois.
Well, my family immigrated from Seoul, South Korea, in 1974. So I've been in the United States for 51 years. And I grew up in a little place just outside of Tacoma, Washington.
Dr. Yun Park has spent her career trying to fill the cultural gaps missing from higher education. She is currently a professor in the Department of Asian American Studies and the head of the School of Education Policy, Organization, and Leadership at the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign. Her decades of work on the Asian diaspora, including teaching and researching on immigration, cross-racial solidarity, and Asian history, has helped push Illinois to finally include Asian American Studies in curriculum, a fight that continues even today. But Dr. Park's advocacy and her drive to conduct research that collects crucial information about the Asian American community actually stems from her own personal experiences. Dr. Park's story begins in the wake of the Korean War, a conflict between the Democratic People's Republic of Korea, currently North Korea, and the Republic of Korea, current South Korea. This war emerged post-Japanese colonization of Korea and directly out of the end of World War II. More than 2 million people lost their lives during this conflict. While the fighting ended in 1953, the new countries of North and South Korea never officially brought the war to an end. The front line of the conflict has become the de facto boundary between the two countries ever since. And so, coming right out of the Korean War, Dr. Park's parents had a hard decision to make, to stay in the aftermath or leave. Dr. Park told me it's this very history that she and her family brought to the United States and that she's ended up carrying throughout her life.
It's a lot of it from my mother's side because she grew up originally in what's called North Korea. So that's where her family is from. And I grew up hearing so many stories from not only my mom, but from my grandma about their times in North Korea, but also growing up and under Japanese colonialism. So it was just these dual efforts of early on, they developed a sense of Korean identity that was strong. What does it mean to be free in these moments? But it was those stories about their survival, the things that they had to endure during the war, especially my mom's side of the family, having to travel by foot from North Korea to the 38th parallel towards freedom, what they call freedom. And certainly thinking about that, as well as my dad in terms of growing up in the southern part of South Korea and growing up with really harsh conditions in terms of not a lot of family support and love. And so it was these moments that I think about often, and I probably would say think about more being a parent and what would it mean for me to escape war with young kids in tow. Of course, my kids are older, but just thinking about how old my mom was at the time, she would be an adolescent around middle school age, and taking care of babies within her own families. And so I think about those stories, the babies that didn't survive because of malnutrition, just how do babies survive in these moments? So those stories have really carried with me for many years, to this day, obviously. And one of the reasons why my family in particular wanted to immigrate to the United States, I remember my mom telling me, she said she always in the back of her mind was afraid that another war would ensue. And when my mom and dad were living in Seoul, they always had a bag packed to go just in case, to be prepared, because the way that she as a child and her family were totally unprepared for what was about to happen. So just as obviously as a child being traumatized by event and realizing we need to be ready at every moment. And she reflected that she didn't want to live that way anymore.
Bringing important history to the forefront is something Dr. Pak is really familiar with. Her work is founded in historical, political, and sociological factors. This means that her research on the Asian American community doesn't exist in a bubble. It considers the various pieces, the state of our home countries, our relations with other racial minorities in the United States, our histories, and so much more. It all contributes to her recountings of who we are and what we've brought to this country.
It's all to say that it's important to see the world in that thematic sense. So, for example, in terms of citizenship, in terms of immigration, we see that it's not only an Asian American issue or an Asian issue, but how do different groups come to be constrained or excluded from immigration laws, but also where Asian Americans featured centrally in that. What about citizenship and citizenship rights? How does it extend to something like the 1790 Naturalization Act, which forbade non-whites from gaining citizenship? It was also about how enslaved Africans were viewed. So when we think through history based on these topics in a more relational way, we realize that we have to talk about everybody. And yes, it may be through Asian American history, but let's really dig deeper in terms of that. That to me is so incredible and important, and that we can't exist outside of being with each other.
The history surrounding people of color in the United States is not a kind one. There were laws put into place to negatively affect every population that wasn't white, like the Naturalization Act of 1790 that Dr. Pak just mentioned. This law set the first uniform rules for the granting of United States citizenship by naturalization. The law limited naturalization to, quote-unquote, free white persons of good character. Then there were other laws that targeted Asian communities in particular, like the executive orders by Franklin D. Roosevelt during World War II that put Japanese citizens and migrants alike in concentration camps on American soil. This act led to the creation of the U.S. Border Patrol. Yep, the same U.S. Border Patrol we go through in customs today.
That was IPM's Nidhi Shastri talking with University of Illinois College of Education professor Yoon Pak. You can find the full podcast episode online at will.illinois.edu. Search for the What We Brought series. That's it for today. 2 and 7 Today is produced by Stephanie Oriana. Reporting today contributed by Eric Stock, Emily Hayes, Alex Degman, Anna Koh, and Nidhi Shastri. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Kimberly Schofield. 2 and 7 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening, stay safe, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.